If you'd like to turn with us in your Bible tonight and to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians and the chapter 1. I'd just like to read the chapter together, and as we read, let us be mindful that this is the word of God, and may the Lord help us and to benefit from the reading of his precious truth. 1 Corinthians, the chapter 1, and commencing our reading at the verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, and in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. And may the Lord be pleased to follow with his blessing this reading from his precious word. If you'd like to turn with us to the portion of scripture that we read together from 1 Corinthians and the chapter 1, and I would like to direct your attention tonight to the verse 18 of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And just now, with God's word open before us, just let us come again before the throne of grace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this portion of scripture that thou hast placed before us this evening. And O Lord, we pray now as we come to consider the words of our text in particular, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near and that you will grant help from the sanctuary of heaven. Grant that double portion of thy spirit. And we pray, Lord, especially that thou wilt be pleased, O Lord, to tarry with those of our friends who may be out of Christ this evening. Continue with us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We are gathered here this evening to worship the one true God and to hear from God's word the message of a salvation. But you know, there are many also who meet together with other forms of worship tonight, both in Ireland and across the world. You see, there is that which man, or which in man, that recognizes a superior being. Man does not need to be commanded to worship. There is no nation or people group or tongue, high or low in the scale of civilization, but has some kind of God or gods and some kind or form of worship. The native cultures of many people attribute the creation of this earth to a higher being. What man needs is to be directed concerning himself and concerning the worship of the one true God. And that direction comes to us from the Word of God, from the Scriptures of truth, which the Lord has given to us. When the Apostle Paul went to Athens, he found there an altar dedicated to the unknown God. And he proceeded to tell them of him whom we worship. He proceeded to tell them of the one true God. You see, all around us and all that we see, the sun that shines in the sky by day, the moon that shines by night, the stars, the oceans of this earth, the land, the flowers, the plants, the animals, and even we ourselves, man himself, is but a grand mirror by which the perfection of God is reflected to us. God is high above all. And if we could only imagine the greatness of God's creation, I believe that we would hold the Lord in greater awe and just realize how great is our God. The Shorter Catechism, in answer to the question, what is God? We're reminded that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. If we could only grasp the fullness of the meaning of those words, and that in every aspect of his being, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness and truth. I pray that the Lord would implant upon our hearts just who the Lord is and the greatness of our God. The first commandment reminds us in Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 3 that thou shalt have no other God and no other gods before me. I wonder tonight, do you truly realize who God is? And I wonder, do you realise tonight just what is your situation in the presence of a thrice holy God, one in whose presence sin cannot stand? You may be in this worship service tonight, and we seek you to worship the God of heaven and to make known the message of the gospel. But that does not in itself mean that you are saved. And you know yourself whether you be in Christ or whether you be out of Christ. And I'd like to be sincere, be honest with yourself this evening. What is your standing in Christ? Do you truly and can you truly say that all is well with your soul? You know, it is possible to be in the service tonight and maybe you're not even prepared to acknowledge your sin. You're not prepared to acknowledge that you sin in not only in what you do, but in your words or by your words and the very thoughts of your heart. You see, the Lord knows all things. And I wonder tonight, do you realise that because of your sin, that you are a sinner before a thrice holy God? You have broken God's commandments. The Jewish people have devised some 613 commandments that they so that they might be able to fully keep the Ten Commandments of which we are familiar with and which the Lord has given to us in the Scripture. And I'm sure that each one of us, we should be familiar with the Ten Commandments that the Lord has given to us in Exodus chapter 20. But you know, the Jewish people in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, they had devised some 600 commandments so that they might keep the Ten Commandments that was given to them in the Old Testament times and that are recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He summarized the Ten Commandments into two commandments. And what are the two commandments that the Lord has given? He said, and recorded in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. I wonder tonight, can you say that you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength and your neighbour as yourself? Can you truly say that you love the Lord with all your heart? Because you see, not to do so is to break a commandment which is greater than any other commandment. You may have broken the greatest of all the commandments. Oh yes, as we contemplate the Ten Commandments, yes, we may look upon the breaking of the third commandment, taking the name of the Lord in vain. We may think that is a terrible thing. We may think it's a terrible thing to break the Sabbath day, not to keep the Sabbath day a holy day. A terrible thing not to honour your father and your mother. A terrible thing to commit murder. A terrible thing to commit adultery. A terrible thing to steal and take that which does not belong to you. A terrible thing to tell lies. A terrible thing to covet that which belongs to another. And yes, all of these things are terrible things. And all of these things are great, are sin, and is sin in the eyes of the Lord. But you know, above all, the greatest of all sin, the greatest of all sin, is not to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And my friend, tonight, being out of Christ, you're guilty of breaking not only the Ten Commandments. And remember, the commandments are not only indeed. You may say, I may not have committed murder or done some of these things indeed. But the Lord looks beyond the deed and He sees our hearts. And He sees every sinful word. And every sinful thought. My friend, tonight we stand condemned. As sinners, we're condemned before God. There's sin in our hearts, there's sin in our lives. Sin is a reality. Sin in our lives is a reality. Sin in your life is a reality. And your sin, not only is sin a reality, but we have to say that sin is destroying you. Sin is destroying you. It's good to see you in the gospel meeting tonight, each one in the gospel meeting tonight, and especially if you're be out of Christ. Glad to see you. But I'm afraid that for some, as we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 13, or chapter 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I would be afraid for some tonight that because of the nature of sin and how that with the passing of time and the passing of years you have become hardened in your sin. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Because sin is that which is deceitful. Sin is that which offers much and gives little. It is that which will take and it will offer us something, but it only destroys. Have you become hardened tonight to your sin? Are you unmoved whenever the preacher talks about sin? Have you been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? But I thank the Lord tonight that this problem of sin in our lives, that there is an answer to this problem. We thank the Lord tonight there is one who can give us that new heart, who can take away the stony heart and give to us a heart of flesh. There is one who is able to take the scales from off our eyes and open the understanding of our heart. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like tonight to bring each one in the congregation to the words of our text. And I would like you to be honest with yourself before God. Where do we stand in relation to the preaching of the cross? The words of our text for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I would like for us first of all to consider, what is the preaching of the cross? The preaching of the cross. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 we read, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his life upon the cross at Calvary. And in the giving of his life upon the cross at Calvary, he gave it as a sacrifice. He gave it as a sacrifice. It was ordained by God once and for all for sin. The substance of the message of the gospel is related to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4 when he said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You see, God's salvation is something that's not, it didn't happen, or the work of the cross and what happened on Golgotha's hill some 2,000 years ago was not an accident. It was not something that happened by chance, but it was something that was being planned by God from eternity. And it was fulfilled in the fullness of time. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world was at the particular moment that the Lord had ordained it. And so too was the giving of his life as a sacrifice once and for all for sin upon Golgotha's hill those years ago. And we are also reminded whenever the angel stood by upon the Mount of Olives, he said, that ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken from you shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Not the end of the matter. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. One day his feet will again stand upon the Mount of Olives. But I wonder, how is it with you? How is it with your soul? You see, in the work of salvation and at the cross, I believe that we see manifested to us the love of God And there is no greater love, I believe, than the love of God. Oh yes, there might be the love of the parent for the children. There's a love that we might have for one another in Christ. But there is no greater love than the love that God has for us. Because you see, there is nothing unlovely, there's nothing lovely about us. As God looks down upon us as those who He has created, and Adam and Eve were created without sin in the Garden of Eden, but yet they sinned, and we are those who are sinners in the sight of God. And because God is a holy God, sin cannot stand in His presence. We are those who are condemned. There's nothing lovely in us. But as reminded in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. By the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary is the greatest of all demonstrations of love. And remember, the work of the cross at Calvary was a voluntary work. The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life willingly as a sacrifice for sin upon the cross. It was not because He was, as it were, arrested by the Roman soldiers and taken to the cross. Because the Lord had all power, He could have escaped from them in a moment of time. But rather, the Lord Jesus Christ went willingly to the cross. It is the greatest of all of the revelations of God's love toward man. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He died for sinners. Not for, as we're good people who don't need salvation, but rather the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. He reminds us, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He reminds us that they that behold not, need not a physician, but they that are sick. And there are multitude in this world, and they do not see themselves as sinners. And such will not come and to be saved. You know, you might walk into a chemist shop, and you'll see all sorts of medication behind the counter. But for us, if you're well, you have no interest in the medication that is behind the counter, because it's not relevant to you. But if you be sick, if you have a sore head, maybe you look for some paracetamol, and then you'll go to the chemist shop and you'll look and see if you have any paracetamol so that my headache can be relieved. And you see, it's only whenever we come to realize that we're sinners, it's only whenever we come to realize that we have this problem of sin, it is only then that we will look to the remedy. It is only then that we will look to Christ. I pray that you realize tonight that out of Christ there's a problem of sin. And the Lord loves you. And God has commanded His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. In the preaching of the cross we see the love of God. But also in the preaching of the cross, we see the grace of God. What is God's grace? God's grace is that free, unmerited favor that He bestows upon us. And you see, it's only by God's grace that we have salvation. We do not merit God's salvation. There's nothing good in any of us that in any way commends us to God. Reminded in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And we thank the Lord tonight for His grace. Because but for His grace, we would be without hope. And of ourselves, we have to say that we do not seek after God. There's nothing within us that would incline us to seek after God. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You're left to yourself tonight, my friend. You would not be here. You would not seek after the Lord. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's by God's grace. It was God's grace that found the dying thief at the cross, the thief upon the cross. That morning as he was led out to the hill in Golgotha, to be crucified. He was not expecting to find a new life in Christ. He was not expecting to find eternal life at Calvary. But that day he did meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That day the Lord Jesus Christ did speak to him. That day the invitation was given. That day he accepted the invitation that was given. And a moment of time, he was given new life in Christ. And that day he entered into the kingdom of heaven. That is the work of grace. God's free, unmerited favor. That day the dying thief was reconciled to God by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. He reconciled us to himself. And it is only in and through the work of the cross that the sinner can be reconciled to God. Not by our good works or anything that we can do. But it's only in and through that work upon the cross. It's only by the merit of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by the shedding of His precious blood. It's only by that way that we have, that we are reconciled to God. It's only by that sacrifice that we have peace with God. As we made in Colossians 1 and verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. I wonder tonight, do you have the peace of God? I wonder tonight, do you know the reality of that reconciliation with your God? Is all well with your soul? This is something which is truly tremendous. To realize the goodness of the love of God. To realize the grace of God. We truly, those of us who are saved tonight, we have something that is to be gloried in. We have something, we have a message that is to be proclaimed. I pray that we would ever glory in the cross of Christ and all that the Lord has done. And you know, the cross tonight, whenever we talk about the cross, we're not talking about a cross of wood or a crucifix. It's not a crucifix that we hold in our hand tonight and we glory in. But no, it's Christ. The work that He has done. We reminded ourselves this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, in making the sacrifice once and for all for sin, that He was not only the sacrifice, but He was also the altar and the high priest. And the message of the cross, the preaching of the cross, is a message of salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. It's a message by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. It is Christ that saves. The multitudes tonight, and they're looking to a crucifix. They're looking to the rosary beads. They're looking to some relic in the church in order that they might have favor with God. But my friend, it is Christ, and Christ alone, that gives salvation to the sinner. Dr. H.A. Ironside has a little booklet called Full Assurance. In that little booklet he tells of a man, James Parker, who made a visit to a hospital. And the nurse brought him to a particular bed and indicated to him, the bed was surrounded by the white screens, and the nurse whispered to Mr. Parker, she said, "The poor man is dying. The priest has been here and administered the last sacrament. He cannot live long." And Mr. Parker, he begged to go inside the screen, and permission was granted to him by the nurse. And as Mr. Parker looked down upon the dying man, he observed a crucifix on his breast. He stooped over him and lifted it. And as he lifted it, the sick man lifted his eyes and looked distressed, and he said, "Put it back. Put it back." He says, "I want to die with it on my breast." And the visitor pointed out the figure pictured on the cross and said fervently, he said, "Here is a wonderful Savior." "Yes, yes," he says, "I love the crucifix. Please put it back. I hope it will help me to die well." Mr. Parker said, no, it's not the crucifix. Not the crucifix, but the one who died upon the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has died to save you. The man looked bewildered, and then his face began to brighten. And he said, oh, I see. Not the crucifix, but the one who died. He died for me. I see, sir. I see, sir. He died for me. I never understood that before. And Mr. Parker, he replaced the crucifix, returned it back to the man. He offered a short prayer. And then he left. And it was but a short time, it was only a matter of minutes later, that he saw the body being wheeled out of the ward. But there in a moment of time, there was a man like the dying thief. He was brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to realize it's Christ, and Christ alone that saves. Not the crucifix, not good works, not any of these things, but it's Christ. And Christ alone who can save the sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. But I wonder tonight, what is our response to the preaching of the cross? What is our response? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. To them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, the power of God. There are two responses to the preaching of the gospel. For those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. And we rejoice tonight that that is so. The gospel, it is the power of God. And we witness the power of God in relation to our sin. We see the power of God and we know the power of God at work in relation to our sin and in relation to our lives. And we know that we cannot keep ourselves. We know that we do not have power in ourselves to keep ourselves from sin. But there is one who is able. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot keep ourselves. I'm sure that we have all seen or heard about man's attempt to fly like a bird. That is not, we know that there are aeroplanes today, but there are those individuals who imagine, my, that they could put some contraption on themselves, that somehow that they would be able to fly under their own strength. But you know, what happens to all who imagine that they can fly? Why, the contraption ends up always in the same way, in a multiplicity of pieces on the ground. Why? Because the force of gravity is too great for man to overcome by himself. And you know, it is the same in the matter of sin. Because sin is too powerful a force for us to overcome. We cannot overcome it of ourselves. But we thank the Lord there is one who is able to overcome. Reminded in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, and almost all things by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to give victory. It's through his blood we can have victory in Christ. And you know, whenever it comes to the forgiveness of sin and the power to overcome sin and salvation, there is a threefold aspect to our salvation. Because salvation, we can look on salvation as it were in the past tense, whenever we say that we have salvation from the penalty of sin. And this is what happens in the moment of time whenever we saved, whenever we're saved in the experience of a moment of time, we're brought from death unto life, our sins are forgiven, and we are given new life in Christ. One moment we are dead in trespasses and sins, and the next we're made alive in Christ. But then there's also, as it were, the present, in the present sense, because not only do we have salvation from the penalty of sin, but we also have salvation from the power of sin. Reminded in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, whenever we receive God's salvation, we receive new life in Christ. And he gives us that power to overcome sin. And day by day, we're to look upon ourselves as being dead to sin. Dead to sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross at Calvary, he was crucified there. And we are to look upon our sin as being crucified with him. And therefore, we're to look upon ourselves as being dead to sin. And if we be dead to sin, then we will not commit sin. And we're to look upon ourselves as being dead to sin. That new life that the Lord has given to us in Christ. But not only do we have salvation from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin, we thank the Lord that one day that we will have salvation from the presence of sin. While we rub shoulders with the world and while we live in this world, the contamination of sin is still around us and within us. But we thank the Lord that whenever we enter into his presence and the great eternity, we will be with the Lord forever and forever. And we will know that it is to be like our Savior, and that without sin. Remind in Romans 13 and verse 11, and knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And the reference has been made to our entering in, as it were, into the kingdom of heaven, for then we will be made perfect in Christ. The gospel, the preaching of the cross to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Power of God. The Apostle Paul knew that truth when he tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Oh, the preaching of the cross unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But you know, that may not be so with all in the meeting tonight. Those of our friends here tonight who are out of Christ, then to you, it is a different story. It is not the power of God. But rather we read that for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The preaching of the cross, the scriptures, the message of the gospel, it's all but foolishness. Why is that the case? Because there's scales that are upon your eyes. Your heart has been hardened. Your understanding has been darkened. And that is sad, because the foolishness is only as you perceive it. It is not foolishness, but it is only foolishness in your eyes. Because you have not really, you have not come to comprehend the truth. And just because it's foolishness in your eyes doesn't change the fact that it is the power of God unto salvation. You remember back in the days of Noah. Oh, Noah preached the gospel. The invitation was given. But there are those who looked upon Noah and what he preached as being foolishness. There were those, whenever they considered the ark that Noah was building, it was great foolishness. Oh, it might have been to them at that point in time. But it was not foolishness. There was a day when it came whenever the rain began to fall. There was a day whenever Noah and his family entered into the ark. There was a day whenever God shut the door in the side of the ark. The waters began to rise. Was it foolishness then? Maybe only then the truth began to dawn. And so too with many who are out of Christ. With many who look upon the preaching of the gospel as being foolishness. Why, there's a day coming when the truth will dawn upon your heart. The Apostle Paul reminds us, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if we're honest tonight, we have to say, with the words of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. and have turned everyone to his own way. But my friend, the good news is that the Lord has laid on him, that is upon Christ, the iniquity of us all. There is a way of salvation. It is offered to us in Christ. I pray that you will not be foolish. But finally tonight, the result of our response to the preaching of the cross, to them that perish, foolishness, and to us which are saved is the power of God. You see, the preaching of the cross divides the world into two groups. The preaching of the gospel divides nations into two groups. I'm sure the people in this country could be divided in many ways. But before God, there's only one division. And even we can narrow it down tonight in this congregation. And I would love it to be so that all who are in the congregation tonight, that each one is in Christ. I would love to think that it was so, but yet I realize that it may not be so. But there is a division. There may be a division in the congregation tonight. And it is between those who are in Christ and those who are out of Christ. And you see, if you be out of Christ tonight, your sin will cause you to perish. The wages of sin is death, and these wages, my friend, have never been reduced. Never been reduced. One day, a man was out walking, and he saw a magnificent golden eagle in the sky. Golden eagle is a great bird, a magnificent bird of prey. And he stopped to watch the bird in its flight. And soon he began to realize there was something wrong with the bird. There was something wrong. The eagle wavered in flight. And soon it began to fall. And that great eagle, in but a short time, it lay dead. It lay at the man's feet. Dead. Something had happened. And the man, he was eager to know why did this happen to the eagle? And so he went over to it and he began to examine it. He thought maybe that someone had shot it. But there was no trace. There was no trace of a gunshot wound. And he looked again and he saw in the talons on the claws of the eagle. And it had found a young weasel. And it had caught that young weasel. And it had brought it into its breast. And what had happened? That young weasel had latched into the breast of the great eagle and sucked its lifeblood. And that great eagle fell out of the sky. Dead. And you know, that is a picture. That is a picture of sin. And such is ever the end of everyone who persistently clings to their sin. Sin will bring death. Eternal death. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will die in their sin and spend all eternity in the lake of fire. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And as we're reminded in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, and there we have a great catalogue of sins and terrible sins, and we know that all such will have their part in the lake of fire which burneth, fire and brimstone which burneth, which is the second death. But at the beginning of that great catalogue of sins, we simply read, but the fearful and unbelieving. Unbelieving. My friend, all you have to do to be lost is to continue as you are and to turn your back upon Christ. I pray that it may not be so. But rather, I pray tonight that you will turn to Christ. Because it is Christ and Christ alone that saves. He is the only one who is able to grant deliverance to you. Just in conclusion, T.R. Stevenson tells of a North American Indian. This man, a North American Indian, was asked the means by which he and his brethren had become Christians. Asked for word of testimony, how did they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior? And this man, he said a preacher came to us desiring to instruct us. And he began by proving that there was a God. On which we said to him, well, and dost thou not think that we are ignorant of that? And with his preaching, concerning the fact that there was a God who has created the heavens and the earth, they dismissed, as it were, this man. He told them to go back from where you come. Go again from whence thou camest. Then there was another preacher who came. And he said, this preacher said, you must not steal. He said, you must not lie. And we answered him, dost thou think that we do not know that? He said, go and learn it first thyself, and teach the people that thou dost belongest not to do those things. And so again, that was the end, as it were, of his ministry. But sometime after that, there was another man, another preacher who'd come among the people. And he said, this man came to my hut. And he sat down by me and he said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of heaven and earth. He wants you to know that he would gladly save thee and rescue you from the miserable state that thou liest. And he said, to this end he became man, hath given his life for mankind, and shed his blood for them. And after he had explained to him about God's salvation, the man was tired from his journey. There was a board in the side of the hut and he lay down and he went to sleep. And as he fell asleep, he began to think, well, what manner of man is this? There he lies and sleeps so sweetly. He says, I might kill him immediately. I might take him out and throw his body in the forest. And who would know and who would care about him? But this man, that night as he lay down to sleep, he could not get rid of the words. And he says, though I went to sleep, I dreamed of the blood which Christ had shed for us. And you know, as a result, that Indian came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. And not only did he come to know the Lord as his own and personal Savior, but many of his people, many of those around him, they also came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There was a great awakening, as it were, among the people, and many were brought to Christ. What was the secret? The power. The work of Christ. Christ crucified. We cannot and do not work for our salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I exhort you tonight, if you be out of Christ, come and taste and see that the Lord, that he is good. Remember the words of our text. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Just let us bow in prayer. Our time is gone. We will not sing our closing hymn. Commit our meeting to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord tonight that there's hope for our friends who are out of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the love that thou hast shown toward us, because, Lord, thou hast given thy life as a sacrifice for our sins upon the cross at Calvary. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the invitation that thou hast given to us to come. And we pray that tonight, that if there be any in our meeting who is out of Christ, we pray that tonight that they will come and taste and see that the Lord, that he is good. And so now, Lord, we pray that you part us with thy blessing. Take those who return to their homes, grant journeying mercies. Undertake, Lord, for those who would make their way to the open air. We pray, Lord, that thou would undertake. And so now we pray that you part us with thy fear and with thy blessing, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.